If you're like me, when you have the opportunity to travel back to your home country for a visit, there are some highlights and some things you anticipate to do when you get back. For me, one of the things I most look forward to doing when I get back home to the States is visiting a very old Christian man who just turned 90 last year. He is very, very sick. He is feeble. He is bedridden. He is writhing in pain. He cannot get out of bed. His wife has to wait on him hand and foot. It takes all of his energy just to talk to you to say two or three sentences. So why do I enjoy a visit with this guy? Because even in his condition, nearing the end of his life, he still has an enthusiasm and passion for lost people in the world today. He was a missionary in France for the better part of his adult life. And even now, dying, when you talk to him, his concern, he doesn't complain about his health, doesn't complain about how much pain he's in. When you talk to him, his concern is for lost people all over the world, especially in France, but in other parts of the world, wanting them, desiring them to come and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today, we're going to have a special prayer service, and the focus of our prayer service today is on lost people, the unsaved, on people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We as believers, we are to take the gospel into all the world. We are to be concerned about the unsaved around us. The passage we're going to focus on real quick this morning is from Psalms 126, 5. Very, very, very short verse. Some of you probably have it memorized. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. In evangelism, reaching out to the lost, there are three things that we as believers need to know and understand. First, we need to understand the condition of lost people around us. I talked about this a little during the Lord's Supper just now. Lost people are dead spiritually. They are children of wrath. They are under God's condemnation, facing an eternity in hell full of pain and torment and gnashing of teeth, a place where the worm never dies, the Bible tells us. That's the condition of every unbeliever. That's the same fate that awaited all of us before we came to know Christ, and it awaits all those unbelievers around us. That family member in your family who doesn't know Christ, that's their state. That good friend you have at work, that's their fate without Christ. That person you sat beside this morning on the bus coming here, that's their fate, that's their condition if they do not know Jesus Christ. They are going to die in their sins. And sin brings spiritual death and God's wrath. Jesus in the Bible over in John 8:24 makes a very telling statement. He is talking to some unbelievers, Pharisees. He told them, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." We who are true believers, we need to wake up and realize and understand and comprehend what the term lost really means. It means forever and ever a person experiencing God's judgment. The church, universal church in the world today, has forgotten this fact or just overlook it or just ignore it. I heard one Bible teacher recently say the world, the church, has lost its sense of lostness. When we as believers, when we truly comprehend the state of unbelievers, it should motivate us to share the good news. It should motivate us to get busy sharing the gospel. Sometimes talking to people, I hear people make this comment, "Well, I just have no enthusiasm to share the gospel. I just have no motivation to share the gospel." Well, if they were to really understand the state of that lost person, it would give them all the motivation they need. Secondly, we as believers, when we understand that state of lost people around us, that should motivate us and it should cause us to have compassion on the lost people around us. We should be concerned for their souls and where they will spend eternity. We should be concerned about their relationship to Jesus Christ. That's why we take the good news to them, because we love them and are genuinely, genuinely concerned for their spiritual condition. Jesus Christ loved the multitudes. He had compassion on the multitudes. He loved the lost. Jesus' love and compassion and concern for lost people, you and me, led him to the cross, to death. It should motivate us to get busy, to lay aside playing the computer or watching TV and get busy befriending people and sharing the gospel with them. Our compassion for people, our verse, our main passage says, "Those who sow in tears will reap in joy." Our compassion for lost people, yes, it is shown in sharing the gospel, but it should also be shown in our prayer life, in praying for lost people, for their salvation, for their blinded eyes to be opened by God. We show compassion when we pray for lost people. We should be moved and grieved in our hearts for their condition. Especially those people we know and love on a personal level, those people we have continual contact with. Paul in Romans 9 was so moved by his Jewish brethren, so grieved because they were not saved, that he made the statement that he was in continual anguish and intense sorrow over his kinsmen, the Israelites, because they did not know God. Paul even wished, if, supposing hypotheses, saying, "If I could be cursed, I would be cursed if they could be saved." Paul understood their spiritual state. He understood what lost meant. Very early in my Christian life, talking about praying for lost people, back home I was encouraged to keep a top 10 list. A top 10 list of lost people that I pray for daily. You just keep the list, you pray for the 10 names. You keep praying for them day after day after day. Someone comes to know Christ, you can scratch his name off, and what do? Replace it with another name. Pray for lost people. It shows our compassion for them. Very personal question. When is the last time you shed tears over someone lost? When? Longing in your heart for them to come to know the one and only Savior. If you understood lost, it would move you to do it. Have you ever shed tears over someone lost in your prayer life? Very personal question, challenging. Not only are we to understand the condition of the lost, we're to have compassion on unbelievers, but we are also to, what I'm going to use the term, cultivate. Our verse says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." When we understand lost condition, when we have compassion, then we need to cultivate what we sow. We share the gospel, it sows seeds, it plants some seeds in them, and then we need to cultivate it. Let me explain first off. Please listen carefully. God saves, not us. There's nothing we can do to save. We share the gospel. God has to open blinded eyes. God has to draw people. God has to work in their hearts. Please don't understand that point. But when we share the gospel, We are to share the gospel in love. We are to befriend people, make friends. We are to care for them. We are to care for them. Share life's sorrows with them. Share life's joys with them. Be their friend, truly loving them. That is cultivating the gospel. They will see the gospel in action when we truly love them. So we sow the seeds, and then we need to cultivate it, work it. We keep sharing the gospel with them. Almost no one comes to believe in Christ hearing the gospel one time. It takes about 7 times, statistics tell us. We are to cultivate. And of course, same thing as with compassion, we cultivate it through prayer, through our tears, through our pleading and begging for God to have mercy on their souls and to bring them to saving faith. Now this cultivating, befriending and loving lost people, it's going to cost you something. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take effort. And yes, it's going to cause you some inconveniences at some times. There's going to be other things you want to do. But it's a process, and we are to cultivate, help it grow as best we can. Please understand, God gives the increase. We all understand that. Are you in the process of cultivating a lost person in your spiritual life? Maybe a workmate you've shared the gospel with. Maybe you've befriended them. Maybe a family member. Keep cultivating. Don't give up. Let me encourage you. Find one person in your life, family, workmate, classmate, and kind of make them, for lack of a better term, make them your project. Invest time with them. Love them. Share the gospel with them. That's how people come to know Christ. As we conclude today, I want to share with you very simple, understand people's lost condition, have compassion on them, and cultivate the seeds that are sown of the gospel. Look for those opportunities around you to share the gospel. Look for opportunities to cultivate that gospel in their life. Understand their condition. Find a person you love, a family, workmate, classmate, someone you really love, and look at them. Understand their lost condition, and then look for the opportunities to work with them to make the gospel known. We as Christians, we have the cure. We have the medicine for that lost state, and we want everyone to have that cure. We want everyone to experience that cure of their sin. Our brother Glenn is going to come now and lead us in prayer.
Praise the Lord. We thank our brother Eddie for such a great exposition about the need for us to reach out to the lost. For I believe that all that are gathered here, in one way or the other, apart from Christ going on the cross for us, somebody might have paid a price for you to come to know Christ. Somebody might have prayed for you. Somebody might have taken time to come and witness to you, explain things to your state of life, just as we've been told today. And therefore, today is your turn for you to also sacrifice somebody, to sacrifice for somebody, somebody close to you, somebody far from you. Yet, the power of God is not limited by distance. If only you trust in the name of the living God this very morning, as we are about to come into prayer, our redemption, God has a duty for us. Redeeming us, He has a duty for us. He has a task for us. And that is for us to also sow in tears. To sow. And having done that, you need to take an action. And that's some of the things we are going to do today. And then in the course of that, you are bound to face challenges. You are bound to face trials and difficulties. And so today, I just want you to know, just as we've been told, that we have to be so in tears. We have to have compassion for the lost. And so without taking much time, I would entreat all that can stand on their feet. I prefer we stand on our feet to show some kind of reverence before the living God. That's the main reason why when I stand here, I entreat those that can stand to stand. So that like we can attach some kind of seriousness to whatever we are doing here this morning. And so this morning, I just want us to come before the living God. Just begin to ponder about the goodness of the Lord for going on the cross for your life, for the sacrifice that people might have made in your life. Your mom might have been praying for so long a time for your salvation. Your dad might have been praying so long a time for your salvation. A friend or somebody might have invested his time in reaching out to your life to bring you to where you are this morning. Just begin to thank God for that opportunity that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. Just begin to thank God for the goodness of the Lord over your life. All the people that might have helped your life, that might have been teaching you, just thank God for their life. Thank God for all that have helped your life to this very fast. Let's come before the living God as we thank Him, as we bless His holy name, as we magnify Him, as we adore Him. He is Lord. He's the one that has redeemed us. He's the one that has called us of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is Him who has done all these things. Previously, we were all not part of the commonwealth of Israel. We were people of wrath, but God has redeemed us. Today we are part of God's kingdom. It's a blessing to be part. Just thank God for this blessing. Thank God for this privilege that you have in Christ Jesus. Just bless the name of the living God for the people that might have invested in your life. People that might have paid a price to bring you this far. Just bless the mighty name of the living God. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We exalt your holy name, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, O God. Be thou exalted, O God. Be thou glorified, O God. We give you all the glory. The Bible says something in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, reading down to 38. When Jesus Christ saw the crowd, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Because he saw them as helpless people. And they were being harassed by the evil forces of this world. And that was our state of life some time ago. We were being harassed by the evil forces of this world. And we were helpless. But when Christ saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. Today, what kind of compassion do we have towards the lost? We are going to call on the mighty name of the living God. Should our passion towards the lost might have been dead, we are asking God to give us the grace to be revived once again. That our love towards the lost will be revived. When we see people sinning, we will not feel comfortable because we know that they are going to end up in destruction. I just want you to call on the mighty name of the living God and ask God to revive once again your love for the lost. Those that are heading towards destruction, that the Lord will give you passion to stand in the gap and intercede for them. Just going to open up your heart, talk to God. That God, I need the compassion towards the lost. The power of love towards the lost. Those that are being led by the enemy for slaughter. Those that are being led by the enemy to destruction, oh God. The helpless soul, those that are being harassed by the enemy. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, this morning we come before you. We trust in your power, Lord, that is able to revive, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, revive your church once again. Revive your people once again. Rekindle our love for the lost. The love, oh God, that would enable us to reach out to the dying world. The souls, oh God, that are on the streets. The souls, oh God, that are at our workplaces, oh God. The souls that are in our communities, oh God. In our family. Father, we are trusting you for your mighty hand, oh God, to give us the passion and the love for these people, oh God. The Lord also, when he read down that particular text, he told them that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we should pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth much more laborers into the harvest. Beloved, we are asking God this moment that the Lord himself would stretch forth his hand and arrest his own laborers. The laborers among us right now, the laborers outside us this morning, those in different lands, in different tongues, in different nations, we are asking that, Father, we are calling on your name. You commanded us to pray to you that you send forth much more laborers. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, pray and ask the Lord to arrest his own soldiers, his own people, the laborers that he has destined to reach out to the lost. Just begin to pray that, Father, send forth your people, arrest your people, make life uncomfortable to those that feel so comfortable in their life and therefore are not begging with the lost. Begin to pray and call on the mighty name of the living God. Father, the people that you have placed your name on them, that they are your people that you have sent into the world to be laborers, O Lord, on the field, but are now comfortable in their state and therefore are not mindful of you anymore. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your hand, O God, will reach out to their lives and begin to make things uncomfortable for them. Create a way, Lord, in their ways, O Lord, O God, that will lead them only to you, for them to fulfill their calling. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, souls in our midst that are destined to be laborers, souls, O Lord, outside of this morning that are destined to be, O Lord, your laborers, O God, whatever that they are doing, that they think is so important, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your hand to begin, O Lord, to turn their hearts towards you, turn their life towards you, whichever way best for you, in the name of Jesus, O Lord, let them come, O Lord, and take up their rule, Lord, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. The very challenge that even the few laborers are faced is the difficulties of this world, and therefore they are very reluctant in doing exactly what God wants them to do, compromising to this world. And so the work that they are doing is ineffective. We are praying to the Lord of the harvest to begin to rip off every activity of the enemy that makes them ineffective. The Lord should strip away every work of darkness that makes them unproductive in their calling. Whatsoever challenge that they are faced with, that they will be productive unto the name of the living God. Let's pray for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, many are the people, Lord God, that you have called, and they have responded to your call, and they are in this very field, O God. Father, laboring, but Lord God, because of the challenges of this world, Father, their activities, O God, are being hindered. They have become unproductive, O God. Their labor is being hindered by the works of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, this morning, we pray that with your mighty hand, that will strip away every works of darkness. Lord God, you will strip away every activity of the enemy. Lord, you will strip away every hint of the enemy in their life, hitting them, causing them to compromise, living a life of a double standard. In the name of Jesus, may thy hand, O God, Father, set them free, that they'll be able to do as you want them to do, Lord, O God. We bless your holy name, O God. We give you all the glory. Beloved in the Lord, the devil doesn't mind us speaking words of faith, as long as we are unable to take actions of faith. If we speak words of faith all our life and we fail to take actions of faith, it's unproductive. And this morning, what kind of action Jesus Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane had to allow himself to be broken? And that is the state that I'm asking that this morning you and I will come to as our Gethsemane for the sake of the lost. When you read something in the book of Matthew 26, 36 down to 45, the Bible says when Jesus was in Gethsemane, Gethsemane which is literally interpreted as a crushed olive. And at the crushed olive is where we get oil. And oil is meant for healing. It's meant for nourishment. It's meant for enlightenment, and it's meant for anointing, empowerment. And so at that point, Christ was crushed for this to come out of him so that you and I could be where we are today. And so I want us to come before the living God. You and I, we are going to make a commitment to Christ this morning that this week from Monday to next week Sunday, we are trusting God that, Father, I am making a commitment unto you. And this commitment is at least you would wish you miss one of your meals. It could be a breakfast. It could be a lunch. It could be a dinner.
for the sake of the lost, the one that you are praying for, if you have no one to pray about, just pray for the lost souls in the world. That we are going to talk to God, that Father, give us this grace and the strength to miss at least our breakfast or our lunch, or even if we can miss all for the sake of the lost in a day, it will be a blessing for our life. I want us to come before the Lord. Maybe you've never done it before. Never get worried about it. You just trust the living God and just mix your breakfast for the sake of the Lord. Begin to talk to God that, Father, I just want to trust you for a soul. I just want to trust you because in heaven there is nothing that I can bring there. My work cannot be showcased over there. My commitment to duty cannot be showcased over there. But if I'm able to win a soul before you, Lord God, that is what can give me a crown. That is what is worth doing in your kingdom. And therefore begin to pray. Talk to God that, Father, this day, this week, I just want to miss my breakfast. I want to miss this time and focus on you for the sake of a soul. That a soul will come to know you. Father, we ask you, Lord God of all glory, this morning, may you pour out your spirit upon us. Father, your spirit is what we are asking for. Your spirit that labors in pain and in agony. That anguish, oh God, for the lost, oh God. We ask that pour out that spirit upon us this morning. That, Father, this week we will miss, oh God, Father, our comfort. That which the body enjoys so much. Father, we will miss it, oh God. And just focus on you for the sake of a soul. Father, grant us your grace and your strength, Lord. Beloved, in that same Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says our Lord Jesus Christ, having gone a little further, he knelt down and he prayed. And he told God that if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. At that point, what does it tell us? It tells us that the will of Christ was lost in the will of God. You may have a will, you may have a passion, you have a desire. You have your own way that you've been living your life. But for the sake of you and I, Christ will have to be lost so that the two of us today can come to Christ. And it demands on us this morning, what is it in you that ought to be lost so that a soul can come to know Christ? What is it in you that you need to bury in the will of God that somebody can resurrect? I want us to come before the living God and just call on the mighty name of God that, Father, if there is something in me, things that I'm holding so dear, my own will, my own lifestyle I have developed over the years. Father, if that ought to be lost in your will that a soul will come to know you, Father, I'm ready. Just talk to God. Just need to talk to God, for Christ lost his will. For the sake of you and I, what are we losing? What are we losing for the sake of the lost this morning? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we trust you, Lord God of all glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ lost his will for the sake of our salvation, Lord. We pray that this morning, Father, pour out that spirit on us. Pour out that spirit on us that we could bury, Lord, that which we hold so dear in our life. Things that, Lord, we think, oh God, are protecting us, yet they are not. If that ought to be lost, Lord, we agree that let them go. And Lord God, let your will prevail. Let your purpose control our life and lead us, oh God, to a soul. That a soul will come to know you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We bless your holy name, oh God. We give you all the glory. Beloved, in that same garden, when Christ returned, he found his disciples fast asleep. And in our moment where our will is lost, all things that we are so dedicated to, particularly the things of God, we are likely to face less support. At that moment, Christ needed the prayers of his disciples, particularly not even, if not all of them, at least the inner circle, the three that were close to him. Yet they couldn't wait. They could not support him as much. You will be faced with that same challenge in this life. As you dedicate yourself to seek for the lost, people will reject you. Challenges will be so enormous in your life. But I'm here to encourage you, Christ faced it. And we are going to pray that, Father, the grace that was upon Christ, for him not to give up, for him not to even turn aside and to even feel so maybe worried about his state, but yet trusted you, let that grace be upon us as we embark on this particular journey. That you to pray for the grace of God to fill you, to empower you as you care for the lost, to empower you as you reach out to the lost, to empower you as you go about making sure that a soul is planted in the kingdom of God. Just open up your spirit and begin to talk to God. Seek for that grace. Seek for that power. Seek for that strength. Holy Father, we seek for that power. We seek for that strength. That strength only comes from you, oh God, who could stand moments of loneliness, moments of rejection, where people we trusted could betray us, where people we thought were with us are no more with us. Yes, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, grant us that grace. You face it, oh Lord, and it is you alone who has the power to face it, oh God. Grant us that power, Lord. Fill your church with that power. Empower us than ever before, that we could make that sacrifice, that we could make that sacrifice, we could sow in that theater. Yes, Lord, fill us with your grace, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. When you read something in John 1, 35 down to 49, the Bible says when Philip found Nathanael and he told him about our Lord Jesus Christ, when Nathanael began to argue and begin to challenge what Philip was saying, Philip didn't go further. He said, come and see. Something good can come out of Nazareth. Maybe you are wondering, can something good come out of me? Then I'm going to tell this guy. But it's not about you. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. All you need to do is to tell the person, come and see. The person is coming to see our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has the power of to redeem him or her from his state or her state of life. It is Christ that has the power. Your duty is to tell the person, come and see. Just pray to our living God this morning and ask God for that courage to go and tell somebody, come and see. And also pray for the soul that you are going to witness to. That as he come and meet Christ, the Bible says when Nathanael met Christ, he said, truly, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. That was the confession unto salvation, believing in Christ. And so when they come here too, they will be able to be set free from everything that entangled them. That they will confess our Lord Jesus Christ, that truly you are the Son of the living God, the King of Israel. That's going to pray for yourself and pray for the souls that as they come, they will be liberated and make that confession unto our living God. That's going to call upon the mighty name of the living God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you sent us, Lord, as you sent us, Lord, as you made us Philip unto Nathanael's in this world, as you make us Philip, O Lord, to reach out to souls of this world, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that by your Spirit, you will fill us, Lord. Father, by your Spirit, you will fill us, Lord. Grant us the boldness, the courage, O God, needed to approach people. In the name of Jesus, we pray for these souls as well, that your Spirit will bring an enlightenment to their eyes. Yes, every act of the enemy to cause them to give excuses, to resist them from coming, in the name of Jesus, we strike them down. In the mighty name of Jesus, we unveil their eyes from every darkness of this world. That as they come, Lord, they will be able to see you. They will not just come, but they will be able to see you. And when they see you, Lord, they will be convicted of their sins. Lord God, a deeper conviction of sin will fall on them, O Lord. The new repentance will be their portion. We pray that, Lord, that they will confess you, that you are the Son of the living God, the only King of Israel. We bless you, holy name, O God. We give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Last but not the least, at the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ was answered, but not as his will, but maybe not as his will, he wills, but the will of God prevail. And in our life, as we reach out to these souls, sometimes you may be praying, you want the person to instantly, God will answer your prayer about the soul, but maybe not as you want it. It could be a year after. It could be 2 years after. Your prayers had never gone wasted. God knows how we feel. And he knows the right time for the redemption of any soul. So not for you to feel discouraged that having fasted, having prayed, and having gone to this person and invited him to Christ, yet he did not accept Christ. That's not your worry. That shouldn't be your duty. I want us to come before the living God and call on his mighty name, the Father. Let us see your mighty hand in every answer of our prayer. That we would acknowledge your hand that knows better than what we think. That we would appreciate it in every circle. We would appreciate no matter the result. That means to tell God, the Father, we would appreciate it. We would thank you, Father, even in advance for what you have done with our life. Just open up your heart and begin to talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we submit our life to you. Father, we wish that instantly they could have been convicted, Lord, of sin, and then repent of it, O God, Lord, and give their life to you. But whatsoever pleases you, Lord God, we thank you for that, O God. We thank you. We thank you for you know best, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the victory that you've declared over the our coming Sunday, the souls you've won for yourself, your gloriousness that has been revealed upon us, O God. We magnify the holy name, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Finally, when the full weight of Christ's assignment was upon his life, the Bible says he was in anguish, he was in pain and sorrow. Beloved, we are not left out of this anguish, pain and sorrow in moments when we pursue the full weight of God's will for our life. You feel it, but I'm here to tell you, there is somebody who had gone ahead of us, our Lord Jesus Christ. He had experienced it, and if we call on him and ask him for that grace and strength to endure the moments where the full weight of God's calling is being revealed on your life, that fight against your wishes, your will, your plans, and everything seems to be sidelined. And yet you see the mighty hand of God leading you through an uncomfortable situation. Just call on the mighty name of the living God this morning. Talk to him that, Father, we appreciate your mighty hand upon our lives. Talk to him and tell him you appreciate it. We appreciate it, for he has gone ahead of us. He had experienced it before. Therefore, this morning, he should endow us with that grace and that strength. That power of the Holy Ghost that would enable us to endure all hardship. That would enable us to persist and continue in our journey and our walk with him, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, it is written in your word that the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that does the will of the Father, your word declares unto our soul that he will abide forever. This morning, your children, as we are gathered here, we are seeking your will. We are seeking your purpose to be fulfilled in the life of humanity. And as a church, GICF, Lord, our desire is that your will be done over your people. Your will be done over your church. Therefore, this morning, we refuse to fade away in any challenge or situation that we are faced with. As individuals, Lord, as a church, Lord, moving into a different location, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as long as we pursue your will, we refuse to pass away in Gwangju. We refuse to fade away in Guangdong. We refuse to fade away in China. We stand on your will and we will abide forever. Father, families therein, individual lives therein, as we champion your cause this morning, as we champion your will this morning, Father, your word declares that he who does the will of the Lord shall abide forever. We shall forever abide. We shall never fade away. We shall forever triumph. We shall never be people cast out in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. Father, we continue before you this morning. Christ said, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. But not as I will. But thy will be done. Lord God, your will be done. This morning, GICF, your will be done. This morning, families therein, your will be done. This morning, individual lives, Your will be done. May our individual will be lost in your glorious and great will that you have for us, Lord. The Lord, we ask that this moment, give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the faith that is needed to endure all the hardship we ought to go through, that your will be made manifest, Lord. Father, your word declares unto us that thy kingdom come. Father, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. Lord God of all glory, all we are trusting God for in this coming, in this Easter time, is that your will be done. Thy kingdom will come in life that we are aiming at. People that we are trying to reach to, Lord, let your will be done in their lives. Let your kingdom come and stay in their lives that will build them up in your most holy faith, O God. Glorious King, once again we ask, O Lord, the Bible says, Epaphras, a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently for the saints, that they may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Father, in your church as we have this morning, we are calling on your mighty name to raise men like Epaphras. People that were constantly laboring for the sake of the saints to stand firm and complete in the will of God. Father, raise men in our midst. There will be men of Epaphras, Lord. That same spirit, let it fall on them. Traveling, agonizing for your church. Traveling, agonizing for the saints. Even for those that we are yet to reach out to. That Lord God, they will stand firm and complete in your will. Father, the goal is not just to bring them here. But that Lord God, they will come and meet you. And having met you, Lord God, they will stand in you. And be complete in your will for their life. We pray that they will need, oh Lord, prayer support. They will need teaching support. They will need fellowship. They will need, oh Lord, breaking of bread. Oh God, we ask that let your spirit minister to those souls. Raise men and people that will be available to accomplish this unto your glory. Finally, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice forevermore in you as you admonish us, Lord. But as your children, we are trusting you this morning. That may your mighty hand wrought out a mighty miracle at the end of this time that we are having with you. Wrought out a mighty miracle that will fill our mouth with testimonies. Will fill our lives with ever joy. That we will rejoice forevermore. Every stage of our life will testify of your goodness. Father, you admonish us to pray without ceasing. Holy Father, may you strengthen our knees. To travail and agonize. For our life, for our families, for our church, and for the kingdom, that your glory will come to stay. And all things, Lord, your word declares unto us that we should give thanks unto you. For that is your will for us in Christ Jesus, O God. We pray that, Lord, we would acknowledge your hand in every situation that we go through. That we will give you thanks, no matter good or bad. Father, we pray that we will give you thanks. We would acknowledge even the little things you are doing in our life and give you thanks, O Lord. We bless you, Lord, our King of glory. We magnify you, Lord, your God. Have your own way and establish your glory with your church, O God. As your children come before you in coming Sunday, may you anoint your servant than ever before. May you empower your servant who delivers your word, O God. Bring down the deeper conviction over every heart. Whichever area that we need repentance, let us receive it in your mighty name, O God. We bless your holy name, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of the glory with exceedingly joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Beloved, for the sake of time, we will not be having the last song. We've really run out of time and some have to straight away run to work. And so at this time, we thank our living God once again for having had a successful time with us this morning. And so God bless you for coming. Hope to meet you next week. Thank you for coming. God bless you.